Thank you, ladies. That was such a blessing. Well, if you have a copy of the Bible, how many of you have a Bible? Do you have one? Let's find the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3 in the Bible. Almost in the middle of your Bible, Lamentations, chapter 3. How many of you can't wait for Easter Sunday next week? Aren't you glad we can have a Resurrection Sunday every Sunday? Doesn't that just be one time a year? And we're looking forward to what God's going to do. I'm very thankful for Pastor for allowing me this opportunity. I don't take it lightly. I'm very thankful for it. And we miss Pastor when he's not here. But he's an extension of us. And when we hear that four trusted Christ as Savior, we rejoice in that. Amen. But if you are our guest, we're so thankful. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being with us this morning. I pray that you come back next week and hear from our pastor, from the Bible. I know it'll be a blessing to you. And how many of you thank God for what he's doing here at Calvary? Amen. Nowhere like it.
That's right.
And we thank God for what he's doing. It's all for his glory and by his Spirit. Lamentations chapter 3. The writer of Lamentations is the prophet Jeremiah. And some would say that he's called the weeping prophet. How many of you ever heard Jeremiah called the weeping prophet? And for a while, when I was young or when I was a teenager, I kind of thought the weeping prophet meant that he would just go around constantly, just always had tears flowing out of his eyes or always just crying, always weeping. But as I got older, I learned that that's not what commentators refer to when they call him the weeping prophet. And I've learned that Jeremiah was probably one of the most joyful, happy men in Scripture. Because there's no one that could go through what Jeremiah went through without remembering that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because he is seeing and viewing the judgment of God upon his people, upon the people that God's called him to. And at the same time, Jeremiah is experiencing personal suffering, and Jeremiah is experiencing personal persecution. And in Lamentations chapter 3, where we have your Bibles open to this morning, Jeremiah is almost, in a sense, crying out to God. He's doing God's will. He's speaking the truth of the Bible. He's speaking the words that God wanted him to say. He's doing what God has called him to do. And it's almost like Jeremiah is saying to God here in Lamentations 3, he's saying, God, what in the world are you doing? I'm doing everything you've called me to. I'm doing everything you want me to do. But God, what in the world are you doing to me? I don't understand. And the book that we find ourselves this morning is the book of Lamentations. And some may say, what does Lamentations mean? What is a lament? Simply put, a lament is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. It literally means to mourn aloud, to mourn aloud. And in the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah is detailing the deplorable condition of Jerusalem after God's judgment. Now, before we read the main text that you see on the screen there, I want you to see some of Jeremiah's expression of grief, some of his lament in the first few verses of chapter 3. So before we read our main text, look with me at verse 1 of chapter 3. Would you look at there with me for a second? Verse 1 of chapter 3. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. Look with me at verse 7, same chapter. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. Now look at verse 15. Here's a few more verses. Verse 15. He hath filled me with, what's the next word, church? Bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. Verse 17. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. Verse 18. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. At Calvary Baptist Church, can you sense the grief that Jeremiah is speaking to here? Can you sense the absolute sorrow? Can you sense the absolute agony that Jeremiah is facing here? Can you see it? Jeremiah was literally on the verge of defeat. He was discouraged. But then we come to verse 21. And there's almost like a light bulb that goes off in Jeremiah's mind. Something changed in Jeremiah. Something was different. And so now we read our text. Look with me at verse 21 of chapter 3. Same man is speaking. He says in verse 21, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." If you like to highlight, or if you like to underline portions of Scripture, many of you do, we're going to take the theme and title of today's message from the last phrase in verse 23. And it is this phrase, "Great is thy faithfulness." God is always faithful. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, this morning it is such a blessing to be in church. Lord, I thank you for what you are doing at Calvary, and I pray you would never help us to take it for granted. And Lord, this morning as we look into the Bible, I pray you would change us and challenge us through your word. Help us to leave here different. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you that it is sufficient. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Back in 2013, I got to go on a missions trip with our church, and we got to go to the state of Montana. How many of you got to go to on that trip or have been to Montana before? It is the most beautiful state I've ever been to in my entire life. It is quite different from the city of Philadelphia, I must say. quite different. And we went to Montana, and we were able to see Soul Saved and did a lot of canvassing and see a church started there. And one of the highlights of the trip, besides the spiritual part, was getting to go to Yellowstone National Park there in the neighboring state of Wyoming. And I had read and heard about this thing called Old Faithful. It is a geyser there in Wyoming that puts water out through the air every 60 to 110 minutes. Old Faithful will shoot water straight up into the air. I'm curious, how many of you have ever been to or seen Old Faithful before? Okay, quite a few of you. I remember our team from Calvary, we were scheduled to go to Yellowstone, and we pulled into the parking lot of Old Faithful, and Old Faithful was shooting water out exactly as we pulled into the parking lot. We could see the top of it right through the tree line. And so guess what we did for the next 60 to 110 minutes? I forget how long. Guess what we did? We waited there to watch water. That's what we did. We waited so that we could see from beginning to end. This famous geyser currently erupts about 20 times a day, and it can be predicted with a 90% confidence rate. I read an article that said that as time has gone on, Old Faithful has become less reliable to predict. It has a 90% success rate that every 60 to 110 minutes, somewhere in there, it's going to shoot off the water. And so this morning, we are in Lamentations chapter 3. Jeremiah is lamenting. Jeremiah is sorrowful. He is grieving. He is mourning. He is crying out to God in absolute agony. And what Jeremiah does not need is something that is 90% reliable. He does not need something that is growing less and less predictable or less confident to trust. Jeremiah needed a 100% all the time faithful God. Great is thy faithfulness. You see, God is not right 90% of the time. God is faithful and right 100% of the time. You see, tell me a time he's not been faithful. Tell me a time and a day that his mercies weren't new. Tell me a day that he was less than almighty. Oh, friend, there has never been a time. Great is thy faithfulness. And so I'm speaking this morning on this April the 2nd, 2023, to some people in this auditorium. And you come in here and you've went through the song service and you've done your best to smile and you're here in person, but you're here and you're sorrowful, you're in agony, you have a hurting heart. You're filled with anxiety, you're filled with worry, you're filled with fear. And I'm saying tonight, based on the authority of Scripture, great is His faithfulness. Great is our God. Aren't you thankful that we have a sufficient Bible? That in 2023, the Bible is sufficient. Just like when it was written thousands of years ago. If you have a pen handy, I'd like to encourage you to write down a few things. And we're going to learn from Jeremiah. We're going to learn from God, some things that Jeremiah learned. Number one, God will always be our hope. God will always be our hope. Where do we see this? Well, there's two places in our text that we read. Look with me at verse 21. There's nothing that I say today that's of any importance. It's all that the Bible says. Look at verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I, what's the word, church? Hope. Now look at verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I, what? Hope in Him. God will always be our hope. You see, Calvary, for the first 20 verses of Lamentations chapter 3, all we've heard from Jeremiah is sorrow. All we've heard from Jeremiah is grief. All we've heard from him is pain and agony and mourning. But then a light bulb comes on. A reminder happens in Jeremiah's life. And he comes to a subtle abruptness here, and he remembers something. What did he remember? I recall in my mind, therefore have I hope. Calvary Baptist Church, and guests this morning, God will always be our hope. He is our hope. There's too many Christians that their hope is in a position. Their hope is in a job. Their hope is in a boss. And all of those things can fail you. There's too many Christians who place their hope in a politician. There's too many Christians who place their hope in government or elections. And all of those things can and will fail you. There's so many Christians who are sitting on their hands. They're always waiting for the next election cycle to come and try to have a better political outcome. And their hope is in the wrong place. That will fail you. There are some Christians, and there's too many Christians that place their hope in a preacher. A preacher can fail you. You see, we as frail humans, we like to place our hope in things that move. But what God tells us to do is to place our hope in something quite different. He says to place our hope in the unmovable person, the unmovable God, our Almighty God. There's one and only one today that will never, ever, ever fail you, and that is God. You name any other person besides God, and they will fail you, but God will never fail you. In a world that's searching for peace, Jesus is still the answer. And for Jeremiah, the darkness of no hope was dispelled by the dawn of hope in God's mercy. God will always be our hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Because on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. God will always be our hope. He'll always be our hope. Number two, I want you to see that God will always be merciful. Not only is God our hope, but number two, God will always be merciful. I love this, don't you? Look with me at verse number 22. Look at there with me. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's, what's the next word, Calvary? Mercies. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. In this verse, Jeremiah was reminded of what he really and what he truly deserved. And all of us in this room deserve one place, and that is separation apart from God in a place called hell. Every single one of us deserve there. But God, who is rich, rich in mercy, offered us freely the hope of heaven. That is what God gave to us. We don't deserve Christ, but God freely offers himself to us. That is mercy. Aren't you thankful this morning for God's mercies? Instead of offering us eternity in hell, he offered us heaven through Jesus Christ. And Jeremiah, many like you this morning, he had come to a place where he remembered, he recalled what God had done for him. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Hey, Calvary, he is the Father of mercies. He is the beginner and the completer of mercies. I love what an author once said. He said this, "If thy heart be hard, if thy heart be hard, his mercies are tender. If thy heart be dead, he hath mercy to liven it. If thou be sick, he hath mercy to heal. And if thou be sinful, he hath mercies to sanctify and to cleanse you." God will always be faithful. He's the God of mercies. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and he's plenteous in mercy. Don't you dare let someone try to tell you that God is always a God of anger. Yes, God will have justice, but God is slow to anger, and he is plenteous. He is full of mercy. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes and for mine, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich." You are rich in Christ, and you have his mercy. Psalm 40, verse 3, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings." Christian, believer in Christ, do you remember where you once came from? Do you remember where God brought you from? Don't forget what you deserve. Never forget God's mercies. Amen. There are so many Christians who are living forgetful of God's mercies, and we act as though we deserve God's mercies. No, we don't. We do not deserve God's mercies, but God freely offers us his mercies. He is a merciful God. I want you to see two things under this point. Number one, his mercies, they are compassionate. First of all, they are compassionate. Look at verse 22. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Aren't you thankful his compassions fail not? Well, Tom, what is compassion? Compassion is to recognize the suffering of others and then take action to help. To recognize the suffering of others and to take action to help. That is what Jesus did for you, and that's what Jesus did for me. He saw us, he saw me in my suffering, and he took compassion on me. Have you ever noticed the difference between a father and a mother when it comes to children scraping their knee or falling on the ground? Us dads, a kid comes yelling and crying to us, "I scraped my knee, I scraped my knee." We look at it, it looks fine, it's all in one piece. "Get back out there, guy, come on, let's go, get back out there." But mothers, they see a child crying and screaming, oh, and they hug and they kiss and they say, "Let's take you to the emergency room or take you to the urgent care and get this fixed for this little small bleed that you have here." Compassion. I'm thankful that in our hurt, God shows us compassion. God is tender. God is loving. God is kind. He has merciful compassions towards us. Psalm 86, verse 15. "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth." His mercies are compassionate, but number two, I love this one. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Now, our attention goes to verse 23. Look at it with me. Don't forget, there's nothing I say that's important. It's what God's word has to say to us. Verse 23, they are new every morning. I want to ask, and don't tell a lie, we're in church, but how many of you are morning people? You are morning people. Raise your hand. Good. How many of you are morning people around 11 o'clock in the morning after your fourth cup of coffee? You're a morning person at that point. Yes, okay? But do you know what all of us, whether you raised your hand or not, for both or one or the other, you know what all of us have in common in here this morning? All of us at 11:15 at Calvary Baptist Church in the morning, all of us in this room are recipients of God's mercies. Amen. God didn't have to give you another breath just now. He gave you his mercies. And you can take it to the bank today, tomorrow, as long as you shall live. Every time you get up in the morning, his mercies are new. His compassions fail not. You take a breath each morning. You take a breath each day. His mercies are new. If you make it to tomorrow, do you know what you are guaranteed when you wake up? His mercies are new. They are fresh. And by the way, aren't you glad that God doesn't give us something stale? He always gives us something fresh. They are new every morning. I want to say to those in this room, and for the last few moments you have pondered, maybe this morning you are without Christ. And I want to say to you this morning, if you are lost, Christ freely offers you his mercy. And Jesus loves you. He's merciful towards you. And he's giving you right now another opportunity to receive Christ as Savior. Baptism won't get you to heaven. Your good deeds won't get you there. Sitting in that comfortable chair this morning will not get you to heaven. You can be in church every time the doors are open, but it will not get you there. It's only through faith, trusting in Jesus Christ to save you. He's merciful. Will you trust Christ today? I want to say to those in this room that you have received Christ. You've accepted Christ. May you determine in your sorrow, in your grief, don't forget what you deserve. Don't forget what I deserve. But God offers us his mercy. You didn't deserve the mercies of God, but he freely offers them to you. And they are compassionate mercies, and they're mercies that are new every morning. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Precious, Redeemer, and Friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? You are the one we praise. God will always be merciful. And so we continue to number three. God will always be faithful. God will always be faithful. He'll always be our hope. He'll always be merciful. But three, God will always be faithful. Look at verse 23. We saw that his mercies are compassion. They're new every morning. Look at the last phrase of verse 23. It's the title of our message this morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Amen. Now, whether you recognize it or not, or even acknowledge it or not, there are things in our daily lives that we've come to expect to happen every time we use them. Did any of you this morning put your key in the ignition and turn it and say, I just don't think this is going to crank today? Well, maybe there's a few of us. I shouldn't have said that. Okay, maybe there's a few of us in this room. Okay, when you turn your car key, you expect it to crank. When you go to your favorite coffee place, you expect them to have your favorite drink there. When you go to the refrigerator, you expect your Diet Coke to be right there. Or sweet tea. Amen. When you go to McDonald's, you expect for the ice cream machine to be broken every time. And when you go to Chick-fil-A, you expect it to be served hot, fresh, and with a smile every time. You've come to recognize these things. You see, there are certain things in life that we've expected to be faithful, to be reliable, and to be dependable. However, there is only one who will always be faithful 100% of the time. You can't exactly predict Old Faithful in Wyoming to be exactly right, but you can predict God to be always faithful 100% of the time. Always reliable, always dependable, always. And by the way, God is faithful even when we are not. Anybody been unfaithful to him in the last week? Any perfect people, any non-sinners in here the last 7 days? Anybody go a whole week without being unfaithful to God? God spent every day being faithful to you. Amen. Undeserving. Look at the first word of this phrase here, the word great in verse 23. How many of you believe that God's a great God? You believe He's great? Psalm 95, verse 3. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. So what is Jeremiah saying here? God is great, and His greatness, the faithfulness of our God is even greater. God, a great God, is great in His faithfulness. God will never fail you. In your sorrow, in your pain, in your agony, God is always faithful. Everyone around you may let you down. Everyone around you may fail you. But God will never fail you. Amen. Won't you try Him out and see if He's ever failed you? There's never been a time that He's not been faithful. All around you, all you may have ever known may be crumbling. But God will never crumble. I like what Scott Pauley said one time. I wrote this down. We tend to have a photographic memory when it comes to our difficulties, but then amnesia when it comes to God's blessings. When it comes to our difficulties, man, we love to talk about them. We remember them all the time. But how about God's blessings every day? Our difficulties, we remember them. We talk about them all the time. But what about God's blessings? 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Hey, mom and dad, are you fearful of the America that your kids or grandkids might grow up in? You just remember that God is not changing and God's faithful. You train your kids, you teach them Christ, and you remember that God is not changing. Don't let your kids have to live in fear. Don't let your kids have to hear you talking about how bad everything is all the time. You let your kids know that God's faithful and God will not change. You talk about God in your home or how bad America is. God is always faithful. And by the way, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will always be faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Number four, God will always be our hope. God will always be merciful. God will always be faithful. But number four, God will always be enough. Don't you love the Bible? God will always be enough. Look at verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. There's this word again. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord's my portion. God will always be enough. Several birthdays ago, I had a birthday, and Tiffany surprised me, and she made me a lemon meringue pie. She never made one before. She watched videos. She looked at recipes. She planned. She prepared. Probably got everything from Laura here, okay? Probably got all the news from her, okay? But for my birthday, she wanted to make me this lemon meringue pie. By the way, how many of you like lemon meringue pie? All right, look around. These are the spiritual Christ-honoring people in here, okay? Lemon meringue pies, okay? Amen. So I came home from work, and she surprised me. Happy birthday. And had this lemon meringue pie there. And then, I was excited. Couldn't believe it. Fantastic. Couldn't wait. You know how you always cut up the pies into 6 or 8 or whatever? So she told me something that I'll never forget. We didn't have Silas yet. She said, Thomas, I don't like lemon meringue pie. Elise does not like lemon meringue pie. And Karis does not like lemon meringue pie. So this thing is all yours. You don't have to share it. Let me just tell you something. To my right, I pulled out the drawer. I didn't go for the knife. What's the point of that? It's all mine. What did I go for? I went for the fork. Because it belonged all to me. And by the way, it was fantastic. It was awesome. I might just have some after church is over. I might go somewhere and buy some, okay? There we go. Child of God, look at the verse 24. The Lord is my portion. During Jeremiah's sorrow, during his grief, during his lament, he was reminded that God was enough. And by the way, he'll always be enough for you too. God is adequate for what you're facing. God is sufficient for your valley. You need nothing else. You don't need a single thing more than God. God is enough. It's not Jesus plus something. Well, I need God, but I also need this too. I need this job to bring me satisfaction, or I need this whatever to bring me satisfaction. No, it's Jesus, only Jesus. He is enough, He is sufficient, and He is your portion. What are you placing your trust in besides God? Whatever that is, whatever it may be, it will let you down every single time. But God, He is always enough. And God is all we need. Child of God, you need not look anywhere else for your satisfaction. God will always be enough. During your grief, during your hurt, during your sorrow, during your trial, God is always sufficient. He's always enough, and He will forever be enough. He is your portion, and you can hope in Him today. Great is thy faithfulness. In 1866, there was a man that was born in Kentucky in a log cabin by the name of Thomas Chisholm. And Thomas, at the age of 27, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior during a revival meeting. An evangelist, H.C. Morrison, was preaching. And Thomas Chisholm, he had very little education, and he had numerous physical difficulties. And because of his poor education and because of his physical difficulties, he could not keep a job. It seemed like all the time he was rotating around from job to job to job. He had poor health, poor education, nothing. Then in the 1920s, Thomas Chisholm opened the Bible to where we read this morning. And he was moved by it. He was helped by it. And so he took out a pen and he wrote a song. And I want you to look at it with me in your hymn book. Would you all grab the hymn book in front of you and go to 441? Would you do it there? If there's not one near you, share with somebody. That's what Christians do. Amen? Sharing, sharing. Look at page number 441. What's the title of this song? Great is thy faithfulness. Look at the verse with me. Great is thy faithfulness. Where do you think that Chisholm got that phrase from? The Bible. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Don't you like this? Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, forever thou wilt be. Verse 2. Summer, winter, springtime, harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Verse 3 is my favorite. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today. Bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings. Shout out this next two words, church. All mine. With 10,000 beside. Sing it with me. Great is thy faithfulness. Come on now. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. This morning, April the 2nd, 2022. 2023. I'm speaking to someone in this room. You come in this auditorium, you're grieving, you're hurting, you're sorrowful, you're filled with worry, you're filled with fear, you're filled with anxiety. Your name might not be on our prayer list. You may be looking at all the circumstances around you. God sees you. And he's the same God. See, is God different from the God of Jeremiah in Lamentations 3? Nope. Same God. Amen. God has a remedy for you. You can go to sleep easy tonight, knowing that great is thy faithfulness. God will always be our hope. God will always be merciful. God will always be faithful. And God will always be enough. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. Would you close your eyes and pray with me for a moment?